I'm Mary Angish. Hey there, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Well, later this month, we should be thinking about planting some spring flowering bulbs. It's been still pretty warm and mild, though. What should we be doing about alliums, like onions and those sorts of bulbs? Like, is it going to be too early, too warm?
Yes, it is too early right now because it has been so warm and the soils have stayed warm. And generally, you want soils to be at least below 50 degrees temperature-wise so that when you plant the bulbs, they don't start growing.
Yeah.
We don't want that to happen in the fall. So I would suggest in most parts of the listening area that we're thinking more like late October that we'll be putting them in the ground, and certainly into November if it stays warm. That would be fine too. The bulbs themselves only need about 3-4 weeks or so to get their roots set before the ground freezes, and so that'll give us plenty of time for them. But the alliums are a good alternative. If you've been struggling with your tulips and your hyacinths, maybe even daffodils and crocuses, with pests getting on them or animals eating them or just not growing very well, alliums are a really great one to grow because they're so trouble-free. They are flowering onions. They're in the onion family, so the deer, the rabbits, the mice, the voles tend not to go after the bulbs or the flowers. They come back year after year pretty reliably, and they're pretty cool looking. So you can get the real tall ones. They can grow anywhere from 6 inches to 4 feet tall. The really tall ones are the ones like Gladiator with big purple flowers on them, or Mount Everest is a white version of those. Those look great because they can grow up through the foliage of your perennial flowers, your daylilies and your rudbeckias and echinaceas, and then flower on top because they flower later than the other spring flowering bulbs. It's more late spring, early summer when they'll bloom. If you want some of the smaller ones to have in a rock garden or in the front of your border, there's some great ones there too. There's the drumstick allium, which has red and green colors on the flowers. There's allium ceruleum, which is a really beautiful steel blue colored one. And then there's allium molly, which is a yellow colored one. Now, some of these will self-sow, so you do have to be careful about them if you're going to leave the seed heads on. But otherwise, they don't really cause many problems in the garden. And they're really cool as a cut flower to bring inside. And you can just leave them once they go by, the flowers go by. The seed heads are really kind of cool architecturally in the garden. And I have seen some people actually spray paint them different colors just for a look. No, it's your garden. You do what you want to do. So alliums are really a nice plant to have in the garden. They come back reliably every year. If you want them to spread, let them self-sow. Like Purple Sensation is one that self-sows readily. And then you can have a whole patch of alliums in the spring.
Oh, beautiful. I want to see that spray-painted one now. Here's a question from Melanie in Brandon. Melanie writes, I have a black walnut. It's probably approaching its 25th year. When I hear it will become toxic to nearby plants. The previous owners planted a little apple tree right in beside it. So if I move it, how far away should a fruit tree or really any plant be planted from that black walnut's base to be safe?
Yeah, that apple tree is going to be very susceptible to the toxicity of the black walnut. In fact, you can go online. There's a lot of different websites. The University of Wisconsin, for example, has one that'll list the plants that are very sensitive to walnut chemicals in the roots and then ones that are more tolerant of them. Apples are very sensitive. So I would suggest in the spring moving that apple tree at least 50 to 60 feet away from the black walnut tree so it gets outside that root zone, and then it should be okay.
Okay. Sandy writes in, hi, Charlie. I have a hydrangea that I've had for a few years. Past 2 years hasn't flowered at all. Unsure of the variety, I just know it looks healthy. It just doesn't flower. We have spruce trees around, so thinking acidity isn't an issue, and we have had 2 wet summers. I don't know if that's an issue, but you are the expert, they write. Any advice?
No pressure. So hydrangeas, hydra means water, so the wet summers should actually have been really good for your hydrangea. They should have grown really well. As long as the spruces aren't shading them too much, they do need some sun. They are part shade tolerant, but if they can get morning sun, that's ideal, and afternoon shade. That's when they'll flower the best and they'll look the best. The other possibility is if it's a hydrangea microphylla, which is the big blue ones more people often grow, those form their flower buds on old stems, meaning that the wood from this year will overwinter and then it'll flower next year. If it dies back to the ground or dies back severely because of the winter, and it doesn't have to be cold, it's just when the cold comes, then you're not going to get flowers at all, or you'll get them really late. So I would suggest this year, towards Thanksgiving, early December, get some wood chips and pile it up over the hydrangea bush, not the whole top of it, but just maybe a foot deep or so. And that'll protect the bottom buds on those stems so that if we do have a severe winter, they're protected. Next spring, pull back the mulch and hopefully you'll get some flowers.
If you have questions about your garden, send them to gardening@vermontpublic.org and listen to this wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.